the daily racing podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast. We've got four meetings to look forward to on Tuesday, all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm. Nottingham and Fosslass in the afternoon and Lingfield and Carlisle coming up in the evening. Join Alex Dunn, who will be in the studio alongside John Babb and John O'Connell, who return for another day's racing. Joining myself, Sam Norris, in the studio on this latest edition of the podcast is the aforementioned Mr. O'Connell. John, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you, Dan.
Good, good stuff. Hopefully there'll be a bit more to go at Monday afternoon, Tuesday afternoon rather, as Monday was quite sparse.
Yeah, we lost the beaten air on Monday, but at least we've got the full book on Tuesday anyway, including Fosslass, where I've gone for a couple of selections, which would be unlike me. But,
yes,
that's where I've ended up.
I'm looking forward to hearing a couple from Fosslass a bit later on in the podcast. We'll start with the Monday jury as we always do on Tuesday's edition, and we'll get straight into it. We start with Siskin, who of course continued his unbeaten record in the Group 1 Phoenix Stakes last Friday, and has now been installed as 8-1 favourite for the 2,000 guineas next year. I suppose they've no choice but to make him favourite for the second favourite
behind
the
Godolphin horse
Pinatubo.
Yeah,
yes, they've no choice to put him in at this kind of price because he's an unbeaten 2-year-old. John,
he's not ridiculously short price at all. I mean, I wouldn't be backing him at 8s, but I probably wouldn't be backing him at 12s either.
Right,
he's a perfectly good 2-year-old. We're talking the fact that Aidan O'Brien has got to unleash so many good horses. Well, I'm assuming he's going to unleash so many nice horses.
It would be strange if he didn't.
Yeah, between now and the end of the season. Not absolutely guaranteed Siskin will get the mile as well. So, I don't think he's a ridiculously short price. I just think he's more of a 12 chance. But even at that price, I wouldn't be interested anyway. But it's not my sort of game anyway. But yeah, he's a very decent 2-year-old. Great to see him winning the other day in conditions that wouldn't have suited him, I don't think.
Yep.
But he showed he can do it on softened ground as opposed to the fast ground over there earlier in the season. Really likeable horse. I think he'll still do well this season. Hopefully he'll do well next season. But I just think there could be, you've got other horses maybe to come out this season. And just the fact I'm not totally convinced. He may get the mile. If I'm going to be backing something at 8s,
you want it to be
7 months in advance. I'd want a bit more copper bottom stamina, to be sure of that. So, no, not a ridiculous price, but just not for one for me.
They ran that race on a Friday night, which forms the second question on the Monday jury this week. They didn't get the weather, which was a shame. Mm. But having a Group 1 on a Friday, were you a fan of that?
I've got no problem with that at all.
Yeah,
something a bit different. They're a bit unlucky at the weather. I think the issue as well with the Curragh, hasn't it been since they were the stand from earlier in the season? There were a few problems, I know.
Yeah.
They were talking about queues for toilets and bars and such like. So that those sort of things, I don't know if they have been addressed over the weekend. I didn't see what the crowd was for Friday night. But as regards to actually having a Group 1 on a Friday night, I think it's okay. But the only one thing, though, I would say, Sam, is that it caught me a little bit unawares, and it may have caught other people. But having said that, probably over in Ireland, it would have been well known for quite a while that was the day of the race.
Hmm.
So, no, it's something different. It's okay by me.
Yeah. Speaking of something different, the next question is on the Shergar Cup. As we well know, John, the meeting is not for everyone. It's not for Mark Johnston particularly. His comments, mainly regarding the colours, have obviously made the press over the last few days. Of course, we have team colours for the Shergar Cup. It's a team event. They are quite similar. I know the caps are a little bit different. Can you see where he's coming from?
I absolutely can. I actually watched one of the races there on Saturday and thought the same thing.
Mm.
I don't think enough people go there and really get involved in the team side of it. You know, so therefore, you've got the pink and the light blue and the yellow colours. I was watching it and found myself thinking, looking at the paper too often, looking down to see which one's got the white cap, which one's got the black cap, and whatever. I think you can easily leave it at the owner's colours. I definitely, because Mark Johnston does, he does often have a lot of runners at this meeting in the past. He realises there's good prize money for horses who otherwise may not get the opportunity to race for that sort of money.
Yeah.
So he's always been a good follower of the meeting, but I do definitely get his points, and I'm with him about the colours. I'm not mad about it, but I definitely see where he's coming
yes.
from.
A couple of people in the jury this week have suggested they're running the owner's colours, maybe, but with a cap that indicates which team.
I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Be a happy medium, I suppose.
If they'd have started this, when they started the Trierweiler Cup about 20 years or so ago, if they'd just carried on at that time and started with the normal owner's colours, there would never, I'm sure, have been a clamour for team colours.
No.
So, yeah, I think they have to have the owner's colours, and it'll help people who are watching the racing, who normally you just know the colours of the horse, whatever, yes. and there's too much looking down at the white cap and the black cap.
Indeed. Next question. What would you do to improve racing in August? I have to say, John, I didn't realise racing in August needed improving until I saw this question.
I mean, we've got Goodwood at the start. I'm assuming it's referring to this gap between Goodwood and York, but it happens.
Yeah.
There has to be a gap.
Can't have quality racing every single week of the year because there's not enough good horses.
Yeah, you've got a couple of days racing at Salisbury this week. Salisbury got their two big meetings of the year on Wednesday and Thursday. Ripon had the Great St Wilfrid. Newbridge's got an okay card this weekend. You've got to have little lulls. My only slight little gripe is that I just think every year, it's sort of slightly going off on a whim, this, but every year there's always a big talk about, the fixture list is coming through soon, the fixture will be out soon. And when it's out, it's exactly the same as the previous year. You know, since I started following racing as a kid, you know the Great Wilfrid, for example, is this weekend every year. There's no real... Chelmsford might drop a meeting here and Catrick might gain a meeting there, but there's no big development in the thing. The other thing about... that was mentioned a few weeks ago we were in here, that jump jockeys, the jump racing is going to get a break, and I think that's going to be in August. I think that's a good idea, if only for the fact to give the jockeys and people in racing a chance, because if you're a parent and if you've got kids going to school, you know pretty much that you've got a 7-week gap from the 20th of July or whatever it is till early September to go and take your kids on holiday. You're paying the premium because the company's put their prices up, but you can't take kids from school. So I think jockeys now, probably for the first time, are going to have that 2-week break or 12-day break, I think it is. Maybe is it from next year?
Yep.
So if those jockeys in their 20s and 30s have got kids at school, they can do something that we've taken for granted for years and years. So, but otherwise, on the fixture list for August, it's what it's been for the last so many years, and it's okay, it's fine by me.
Yeah, very fair point. On to the penultimate question, which young rider have you been most impressed with this season? Seems to be quite a good crop coming through.
Yeah, Kieran Fallon has obviously got plenty of mention. Sean Davis has picked up a lot of experience down the years. He's been riding in Ireland for a few years already, and now he's obviously joined the Richard Fahey yard. A couple... sort of slightly off radar. One would be in Ireland, if you watch a fair bit of Ireland racing, Andrew Slattery impresses me. He's now down to a £5 claim, but I think he's looked good and tidy for quite a while. Trying to think outside the obvious, without saying someone like Kieran Fallon over here, I thought Angus Villiers rode a winner yesterday at Windsor, wasn't it? Was it Grandfather Tom?
Yes, either Windsor or Leicester, I can't remember.
Yeah, that's right. Windsor, Grandfather Tom, Angus Villiers, £7 claimer. He's obviously not by any means the finished article, but he's only been riding this season. He's had relatively few mounts. He's getting a few winners already. He's only going to get better. And so I think he'll do... He shows a bit of potential. A few other trainers are already putting him up. I think he had a ride in both the Stewards' Cup and the Consolation Race.
Yeah, had a few good rides at Goodwood.
Yeah. It's very early days for Angus, but he seems to be going the right way. And I thought at a £7 claimer with very, very few rides to date, I thought he was a possibility.
And lastly, nice easy one, give us one to watch out for over the next 7 days. Is there anything on your radar, John?
Well, I've just been waiting for Saturday's decks to come through, or Saturday's entries rather, to come through. And the feature race at Newbury is the Hungerford Stakes, the Group 2 over 7 furlongs. A bit up in the air, aren't we, about the ground? It's currently good ground, but I know there's a lot of rain around on Wednesday and bits of rain around later in the week. Mm. In the hope that the words good to soft will appear somewhere in there, I'm going to be siding with Safe Voyage in the Hungerford Stakes.
Okay, for the Quins?
Yeah, I am. It's been left in the race today. It was an early entry race, so I'm assuming they've left it in there today as thinking this is the target. It ran well on good grounds at the Curra last time behind Romanized, who won a Group 1 in France yesterday. So it's got to make up a little bit of ground with Hagerman, who was second on that day. But hopefully, if the ground has got good to soft in it, I think Safe Voyage is a better horse with the more cut in the ground. So if we get the rain, I think Safe Voyage will do for me for the Hungerford Stakes on Saturday.
Good stuff. That race coming up, of course, on Saturday. And that wraps up the Monday jury for this week. We've got Foss Last to discuss as well now. We're going to turn our attention on to some of the racing on Tuesday in just a moment. Just before we do, the other obviously big news point that we've heard on Monday, and no doubt you'll have discussed it on the radio plenty, John, the news that we are going to have a mare's chase at Cheltenham from 2021. I have to say, you've probably summed it up better than anyone on Twitter. I'm not going to spoil the punchline. People can find that themselves. But there was a very good tweet. And the general gist of that is what many people will agree with, that a new mare's chase would be inferior to any of the 28 races we've already got at the festival.
I'm not a great fan of mare. We've had a lot of listed mare's chases this year. I know the reason behind them.
Yeah, to try and bolster the programme.
Absolutely. But I don't think we're at small field. I know it's a bit of a chicken and the egg situation, and it's got to come eventually with the bigger fields. But I just don't know if we need a race like that. And we mentioned earlier on the programme, I'm actually surprised the message after that, when it was announced that they're now saying it's going to come in place of another race, so they are dropping the race. I really thought, when I first saw the first part of the sentence, I thought it was going to be, so that's another race, and then a few weeks' time, another race, and
move
so on.
Move towards a five-day festival.
Yeah. So I'm surprised that they're talking of dropping. Well, they are seemingly dropping a race. And I'm not a fan of the cross-country race. It doesn't do it for me. I know we've had the Tiger Roll story over the last couple of years, but I just, cross-country races just don't do it for me. It's a bit like show jumping, but a few of them going around at the same time. And the other thing, I'm not the mare's races. We've had horses who've been running the mare's hurdle in the past who could have gone for the champion hurdle, but you got that opportunity now to duck and dive a little bit and avoid the best. Mm-hmm. And we had obviously Dawn Run back in the 80s. If Dawn Run didn't do that, so obviously the options weren't there.
Yes,
but if you've got a good mare, take on the boys. Competition. It should be about the best horses winning the best races. And I don't like too many opportunities. So I'm not going to be a fan of the mare's race, I would have thought. I'm happy enough for the handicap chase, the Close Brothers handicap chase, which I think seems to be the favourite for people to be dropped.
The chop, right.
Yeah. I would have gone for, if we have to have this new race, I'd have it in place of the cross-country race. And next to best would be one of the two mare's races over hurdles.
Fair enough. Let's turn our attention on to Foss Last then on Tuesday. I got a couple of selections picked out for the day's racing. We start with the 2:45 Novice Stakes, over just shy of the mile trip here, John. Start us off with a pick in this 2:45.
It's pretty much a match on, you would think, on the ratings. Excuse me. I'd be interested in the Roger Charlton horse, Hexagon.
Yes.
Who has had three runs. It's got more, had more chances to show its worth than the market rival Ventura Bounty. But Hexagon, last two runs at Salisbury, it's been changing its legs, it's hung a little bit on both occasions on very fast ground. The form last time isn't too bad. The winner Pile Driver was a bit of a shock winner, but one or two in behind have won since. I know the fifth horse, Berlin Tango, won nicely since. And I think Hexagon may have more improvement to come, with the key being on easier ground tomorrow, because before that, Salisbury bumped into Positive, who's a very decent horse of Clive Cox's. He takes on Ventura Bounty of Richard Hannon's, who ran okay on Nottingham Derby over 6 furlongs last month, and has been entering some decent group race at the end of the season, so obviously they think a bit of it. But in the hope that Hexagon will like the idea of going back on the easy ground, I think Hexagon may get the job done at the fourth time of asking.
Hexagon then to share the main tag in the 2:45 race. A couple of hours later, we have the 4:45, a handicap over a mile and six. What's caught the eye in this one, John?
It's not a bad little race. I would have been interested in Goscott, but that's got something to prove me after the race at Salisbury last time, 2 weeks ago, where it was very disappointing. Goscott is a real big filly, but just didn't do it for whatever reason that occasion. The one I'm taking is the bottom one, Kashagan of Archie Watson's. Had very few races, just the four runs to date. One on debut at Newcastle and the all-weather back in May. But third run, they went over to Doan Royal for a very valuable handicap over there the last day at Royal Ascot. Finished lame on that occasion, you can forget that. But it was then gelded. Went to Thirsk 10 days ago. And I thought it ran an okay race. It was beaten by... Might be disappointing it was beaten by an exposed 8-year-old Trinity Star, but... Kashagan was the best of the three-year-olds, and given that was the first one being gelded and finished lame in Ireland, there may still be a little bit more to come. And I do like over a mile and a half upwards three-year-olds against their elders. Kashagan is the only three-year-old in the race. There may well be some more to come, especially over the extra trip. And with Goscott having blown out last time, I'll go for Kashagan to be a staying winner for Archie Watson.
Brilliant stuff. Kashagan then is the second choice for that Foss Lass race. Don't forget Foss Lass alongside Nottingham on Tuesday afternoon with Lingfield and Carlisle coming up in the evening. John, thank you for that. Pleasure as always and best of luck.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.